Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Matthew 6:20. I am Rob West. The Bible clearly warns against storing up earthly treasure for its own sake, and instead calls us to be rich toward God. Today, Ken Boa and Russ Crossan tell us how to do that, using biblical leverage. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, I'm delighted to have Dr. Ken Boa and Russ Crossan here again today. Ken is the founder of Reflections Ministries. Russ is Executive Vice President and Chief Mission Officer at Ronald Blue Trust. Gentlemen, great to have you back with us.
Rob, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
This is our third and final interview on the great book the two of you co-authored. It's titled Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain. It's such an important book that we want everyone to have a copy, literally. So that's why until the end of the year, we're making it available to folks for a gift of any amount to FaithFi. Just go to faithfi.com and click on the Give tab. Now, for folks who may not have heard the other episodes we've done on this topic. Russ, would you give us just a thumbnail sketch of this idea of biblical leverage?
Yeah, it's the idea that we know about leveraging a house. You borrow money and use leverage to buy a bigger house. Well, if you leverage your giving to get involved in what God's doing around the world, you can have an incredible impact on eternity. So it's the idea that you take yours, invest it now, and see what God does to multiply it.
Yeah. Well, you know, one question folks struggle with a lot is, where should I give? And some even ask, is it okay to give somewhere other than my local church? Ken, how should folks answer those questions?
Yes, I think that this issue, in fact, the church was the one that was collecting the revenues for then the distributing of those things. But Paul talks about those who share in the benefits of the gospel should all share all good things with those who presented it. So it has to do, as we can see in the epistles, with those who have taught them, those who have discipled them, those who have mentored them, those who have been evangelists as well. So there's a wide array of things, but it has to, in my mind, involve something to do with the gospel. It seems to me that that's a critical component, where there are different kinds of things that we can give in different areas. But I think that the gospel needs to be included. More specifically, though, the Great Commission of making disciples. And so that's what we're told. So this ministry of God's word that you can give it away, and then God's mercy, we talk about this in the appendix, and then ministry of God's justice. So they're different, but the Spirit will guide us in what to do as we look to Him and use our use His wisdom and combine. It's a synergistic process.
Ken, what would you say to those who say, well, wait a minute, we're not under the law of Moses anymore, we're under the law of Christ, and therefore the tithe doesn't apply?
Yes, it actually, I think of the tithe as an actual working minimum, because to give proportionately is going to be, it's really giving according to your ability. And so while we're not giving an exact amount, it would be well for us to realize that it's grace giving, and it is based upon who much has been received, much will be given. So that whole idea that you receive and then you give. So it's a perspective of holding on to God's perspective of what's going to last, what's going to endure, what defines me is what it comes down to.
See, Rob, we wish the New Testament gave us a percentage. That'd be a lot easier.
Yes.
That's why the instruction in 1 Timothy to rich people, because, you know, we wish it told us a percentage, 23 or 62 or 49. Give me a number, because to him it must have been given, much required. And the more you have, all right, what's that mean for me? And that's where it gets to be real challenging, and why you have to really listen to the Holy Spirit, because rich people can be way more generous than they realize.
Mm. And when we talk about rich people, we're not necessarily talking about those that have an ultra high net worth, although they're included. But really, we can all think of ourselves as rich, Russ, because we have more than we need, right?
Yeah, if you define rich, which is the way we define it, as having more than you need, because God promises to meet our needs, then some people have way more than they need. Some people have just enough to meet their needs. That's where it's really easier for the person that just has enough to meet his needs, and the person has way more than he needs, it gets way harder for him to answer the question, how much is enough?
That's really helpful. We're talking today with Dr. Ken Boa and Russ Crossan, the co-authors of Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain. When we come back, what about asset-based giving? And how do we test where the Spirit is leading us? Also, what's the proper mindset for our giving? Much more just around the corner on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Another day, another conflict. Nations are in uproar. Rulers of the world continue to oppress their citizens. In other nations, this includes fellow Christians. But one day, these rulers' days will end. In Luke 1:52, we get a sneak peek into Christ's ministry. We read, He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. King Herod seemed powerful, but then he was brought down. Years later, Nero seemed unstoppable, but he too was brought low. The rulers of our day appear as all-powerful, but they too answer to the Lord. They'll be brought down. But in Christ, the humble are lifted up. In Christ, the humble are seated at the table of the King. This is good news indeed. You'll see Christ more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, my good friends, Dr. Ken Boa and Russ Crossan, co-authors of the book Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain. We want to put a copy in your hands, and we can do that when you make a gift of any amount, and we mean that, any amount at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the Give tab. Now, Russ, our friend Ron Blue calls Dr. Boa Dr. Boa because he's actually got two doctorates. How did you feel writing a book with a guy that smart?
Well, it's very intimidating, and just hope the readers, when they read the book, they'll know the part he wrote and the part I wrote. So remember you have a theologian on one side and a practitioner on the other side. So have grace when you read the way I wrote versus the way he wrote, and you'll be able to tell the difference.
I suspect you will. Dr. Boa, how do we test where the Spirit is leading us as we think about our giving?
I think it has to do with risk-taking. There's no growth in the way of knowing Christ and discipleship apart from taking of significant risks. And the more we grow, the more he will invite us to take risks. So that's why the proportionate principle is so incredibly high, because the more we have, the more we're actually going to be having to say it's going to be more and more, not less and less. And so the way we grow in our faith is to commit ourselves to an action that will fail unless God shows up.
Mm. Yeah, we've been talking about the where of our giving. Russ, let's talk about the how. That's, of course, another important question to address. You talk in the book about cash flow versus net worth giving. How do we decide which, or is it both?
Well, I would say for potentially the wealthier people, it's both. For most folks, it'll be cash flow. They give out their salary or their dividends off their company or whatever. And that's what we mean by cash flow giving. They're writing checks or giving cash. But if they have a net worth and have assets that are growing, once you've kind of answered the question, how much is enough, you need to say, why is that still growing? My retirement plan is going up. My business is going up. My real estate's going up.
Yeah.
And so you have to look at that. If you're going to answer the question and be able to stand before God and he says, how'd you do with what I gave you? You have to look at the asset side of your financial life, I think, as well, because I don't think it's going to be a good answer to say, well, I kept giving out of my $200,000 salary, but my business grew to $20 million. Under my watch, and I didn't give according to my ability as I went along. So I think the wealthier you are, the more you have to look at the asset side of your situation in addition to the cash flow in order to give according to your ability.
Yeah. Is it your experience that when you challenge folks around net worth giving, that requires a bit more of an act of faith?
In many cases, it does. But quite frankly, Rob, because we live in a great country, many times they avoid capital gain tax. They get to write it off. So quite frankly, a gift of an asset sometimes is even better stewardship than a gift of cash, because you avoided some taxes, you get to write it off at a fair market value. And so it does take faith. It takes some time for people to kind of grasp that. I think the biggest thing is to understand that you can actually give assets. You can, and that's where the use of foundations and things like this come in. But you can give assets, and then it is harder sometimes, but sometimes it's really good stewardship to do that.
Mention a few of the specific opportunities for asset-based giving that our listeners may not be familiar with.
Well, the first one would be if you have an appreciated stock in your portfolio that's got a built-in gain, you ought to look at anything that's appreciated land, appreciated real estate, anything that's gone up, LLC interest. So anything that's appreciated, you might want to consider giving it before you sell it, if you're thinking about selling it. Maybe even give it in lieu of giving cash, because you avoid that capital gain tax. So it's anything like that that's got appreciation in it on your asset side. You don't give obviously you can give, if you're over 70 and a half, you can give $100,000 out of your retirement plan. There's some other cool things you can do there, but anything that's appreciated would be what you'd look at first.
Yeah. And that's why we love the donor advised fund. It becomes such a powerful tool to facilitate the kind of giving that Russ is talking about. Dr. Boa, help us with the mindset that we should have during the act of giving.
The mindset, I think, should be one of privilege, not duty. It's actually an opportunity, a freedom that I've been given to have some eternal impact during this temporal arena, and to transmute the lead of what's passing away into the gold of what will endure forever. So it's a mindset of doing that. But part of the thing that tethers us as well is the bottom line, how much do we have? And often we want to hold on to it, even in this life. And my own thinking more and more, I have to say, Rob, is that I'm finding I'd rather die poor at the end. I want to live in such a way that I have no more than I actually need to get along, because it's going to be asking me these questions later on. What did you do with what I gave you? And if I invest it now and put it in the lives of people that will have an incalculably diffusive impact, there's no way of quantifying that. But it's hard. You have to treasure the unseen over the seen and the not yet over the now.
So, you can't take it with us, so you're going to give it away either now or when you die. And so I think many people think, well, I'll just give it away when I die, but there's a both and. You give currently, as we've already talked about earlier, reverse compounding, but you also give through your estate plan, but it's both and, not just give it all at the end.
Yes, when we're talking about current versus deferred giving, the old phrase, if you're giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. There's something to be said for that, because the sooner we give it away and not hoard it, and hold it but rather let it be used. If it can be used now out of my of the abundance God's given me, I'm going to be invited to invest in that which is going to endure forever. I can't quantify it, so there's a risk involved. But the more I have, the more I should give proportionately. We're told that. The more I have, the more I should give sacrificially. It should affect my life. And I have to be willing to actually give it away more and more, so it's not just something I'm going to hold on to after I'm dead, but rather giving with a warm hand so that we actually can experience that grace of knowing that it's being used now, not just deferred later on.
Yeah. Ken, do we actually get credit for gifts we give at death as opposed to while we're living?
So if you're not careful, you're going to try to name your land after yourself and your wealth after yourself and have an identity that you're trying to continue to have, this is done in my name and so forth. But
yes,
to be perfectly frank with you, I think the future value of our giving declines every day we wait on it and don't give it away.
That's a big idea. And I know you've said that reward is based on faithfulness to opportunity, and we can send this on ahead. So eternal rewards are an appropriate basis for our giving. Is that right?
Absolutely. I think that we're told that if you want to receive, have a heavenly portfolio. God's not against us pursuing profit. He just wants us to define it according to how he defines it. And profit isn't money and wealth and power. Profit is relationships. It is a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others. That's where a wise person will pursue that which is going to endure forever.
So, Rob, we don't go to work in the Peter Pavilion or the Pauline Plaza. Those first century apostles invested in people, and that's why we're here. And so it's Psalm 49 talks about that. You can build buildings and buy land, put your name on it, but it's not going to endure. People endure.
Yeah, we've got 30 seconds. This has been a fascinating conversation. Russ, tie a bow on it for us.
Well, I think that what I just said would be how I'd leave it. You know, we all have a choice. We either be wise with our money and begin sending on ahead now, or we can be a fool and try to sit on it and hold it. And you don't know when your life's going to be required of you. So I'd get started sooner than later.
That's well said. Well, Dr. Boa, Russ Crossan, so thankful for your ministry, your friendship, and for this incredible work. We're grateful for the time you spent with us today.
Grateful to be with you.
Thanks for having us.
That was Ken Boa and Russ Crossan, the co-authors of the book Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain, a fascinating conversation. Folks, we want to put a copy of this book in your hands, and we can do that when you make a gift before December 31st of any amount at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click Give. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Sometimes it can be hard to catch each live broadcast. This could be due to your job, school, or just life in general. We understand, which is why you don't have to miss out. The AFR podcast page is where you can find all of your favorite shows. Whether it's old or new, you can listen and download each broadcast that you've missed, including the ones you've already heard. Just visit the podcast page at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice.
More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, it's a perfect time of year to be talking about biblical leverage. A lot of folks thinking about giving and generosity here at year end. And speaking of that, coming up a little later in the broadcast, we're delighted to be joined by Riley Wildman to talk about the AFA Foundation and the opportunities for you to give through perhaps a charitable gift annuity where you can get a partial deduction now, an income stream for life, and ultimately the remainder benefiting the great work of the American Family Association, how you can give a gift of a stock or an IRA rollover. We'll cover those topics and more with Riley a little later in the broadcast and tell you more about the American Family Association's Foundation. In the meantime, we're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to tackle whatever is on your mind today, financially speaking, help you process in light of biblical wisdom, help you make a decision with confidence right now. Whether it's living, giving, owing, or growing God's money, we'd love to talk about what you're thinking about today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. No waiting right now. If you call right now, you'll get right through, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. Coming from the news today, Bitcoin hit a new 19-month high on Monday, above 42,000. This was fueled by some panic buying, according to many analysts. Expectations for lower interest rates and money flowing into digital asset funds fueled the rising crypto prices. One of the largest crypto markets rose quickly over the weekend. By Monday afternoon, Bitcoin was around 42,000, up 5.8% over a 24-hour period. Now, let me just remind you what Warren Buffett said once. He said, and I quote, "Investors spend more time researching toasters before they buy one than they do when investing in stocks, bonds, or other investments." So here's the moral to that story. If you don't know what you're buying, don't buy it. Don't let the fear of missing out make you panic and put money into crypto when you can't afford to lose your investment. The word crypto should be a clue. One dictionary definition has the word meaning hidden or secret. And I think the big idea here is that, well, just as I said, if you don't understand it, you can't explain it to your mom, you probably shouldn't be investing in it. I would put, seriously, this in the most speculative category. I mean, think .com in 1999. That's kind of what we're talking about here. It's the wild, wild west. We're still waiting for how this is going to be regulated. We're still seeing crypto exchanges going under. Now, obviously, Bitcoin is the biggest and the strongest and will probably be the one that will survive. The question is, what kind of roller coaster will you have in the meantime? We've seen incredible volatility on Bitcoin over the last 5 years. Yes, people have made a lot of money, and a lot of people have lost a lot of money as well. So I would say this, again, goes in that most speculative category of your investment. So for the average person, I would say there's no place for this category in your portfolio. Now, if you say, listen, I can afford to take up to maybe 10%, 5% of my portfolio and put it in something that's highly speculative, recognizing I could lose all of it or I could see significant declines, I'm willing to wait it out, and take a long-term approach, well, then maybe it's appropriate. Apart from that, I would say stay away. Let's do our investing according to what God's Word says, which I think the best definition coming out of God's Word is this idea of steady plodding. Slow and steady over a long period of time is the way to grow God's money. Now, is blockchain and crypto going anywhere? Absolutely not. I think, you know, crypto and blockchain technology is probably one of the, you know, four or five major disruptors that will change our economy and our world in a whole host of ways, not only just currency and a means of exchange, but it has implications for healthcare and a whole host of industries. So it's not going anywhere, but we just need to be careful as to how we use it as an investment. And again, we don't want to be overly speculative. So hopefully that helps you just process this if you're hearing this in the news today. All right, let's head to the phones. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Marka. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. My name is Marka from Virginia, and I just wanted to ask a question that's been very burdensome for my sister and I, and how we make a decision for an elderly aunt who has never been married, who does not have investments, who lives off of a very fixed income, but she does have a home that my grandmother left to her. And the costs are getting burdensome kind of to maintain this house. However, she only owes about $15,000 on this home. So we are trying to figure out as a family what is the best way for us to move forward with her so she does not lose this home. We are already providing her about $1,000 a month to live off of in addition to her Social Security. So yeah. What are your thoughts biblically and how do we move forward?
Well, clearly, you know, I love the idea of helping those in need. You know, this is a family member. You know, God's money is a tool, and that's in part to provide for our own needs, to enjoy, but also to meet the needs of others. And I think what you're doing is something that is on the heart of God. Now, with that said, there's two pieces to this. There's how you're helping her and where that money is going and whether this home is a place she ought to continue to invest in or whether there's an opportunity to liquidate this asset and move her if that's an option. I know she's elderly and that there's a lot of stress that comes with that, but we just need to consider whether this is the right place for her to continue to be in light of the upkeep that it will take to continue to maintain it. And then there's your financial readiness. Beyond your willingness and desire to help and be a blessing, are you able to do it financially without putting yourself in debt and, you know, creating a hardship for you and the other family members? And clearly God would have us to give, and that may often mean making sacrifices, but I don't think it leads to us, you know, going into debt and violating biblical principles. So let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd love to talk about both sides of the equation, the home and whether that's the right thing for her moving forward, and your ability to continue to help financially. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Life is hard. It's not getting any easier. Can I get a witness? But here's what I know that's so wonderfully triumphant for every one of us. There's not anything you're ever going to experience or experiencing now that Jesus doesn't understand.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Jesus You May Not Know, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. This is where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. So what are you thinking about today? How can we help? Give us a call right now with lines open, 800-525-7000. That's right. You can get right through when you call 800-525-7000. If you do get a busy signal, just keep calling. We'd love to get you on the broadcast today. Let's head back to Virginia. Before the break, we were talking to Marka, and she has an elderly aunt. They've been helping her to the tune of as much as maybe $1,000 a month. She has a shortfall. They've been helping her maintain the home that she has, that she has about $15,000 remaining. Let's deal with the home first and whether this is an appropriate place for her to stay long-term, Marka. Are there ongoing issues or repairs or renovations needed, or are you just helping her maintain the basic expenses?
Well, it is an older home, and it does need quite a bit of maintenance in it. You know, we receive the phone calls on a regular basis, my sister and I, that either she hasn't paid her taxes or her electricity bill is, you know, behind. So people in the community have helped her try to keep the house by helping donate the siding and fixing up some of the stuff on the outside. But it definitely is kind of a money pit home. However, the property that it sits on is two lots, and it is worth about $250,000 at this point. But the house itself is really just falling apart. She is a pretty adamant that she wants to just die there. And of course, we live out of state at this point, both my sister and I. So it is difficult for us to be of assistance to her. But what we are, I think, feeling is my husband and I come from a biblical perspective. And that is, you know, my husband feels like, because there's no other family members, she's never been married, that would fall under his responsibility of, you know, caring for her. She has not always made the best life choices, but long story short, has been a recovering alcoholic for, you know, 30 years, but that did set her up for a lifetime of not having much investments and, you know, Social Security and so forth. So she hasn't put into the system and literally is living off of about, $1,000 a month, you know, so with medical issues. So, so where we are is, do we try to purchase the home for her and then take that money and I don't know, invest it somehow, or do we use that money to help provide care for her in the future? We really just don't want her to lose that value of $250,000 when we can't even provide for her, you know, an apartment for $1,000 a month when her house payment's only $500. So
yeah.
This is just where we are, is how do we continue to put in money? And if so, how, where, and biblically, what would God say? My sister doesn't have the same biblical perspective. Hers is her grace is kind of starting to run out. And I do understand her perspective. So yeah. We are at a place of how do we continue to help without hurting, I guess, or vice versa.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's really helpful background. So I think you've got to decide what your approach is. And because this is a shared responsibility that you and your sister with your spouses are taking on, you probably need to sit down and formulate a plan together. I mean, the options at this point are, number one, you know, if you all were to stop helping, that would force her to move. She could liquidate the asset and take that money. And I realize you said it'd be difficult to find some place to go, but perhaps even just reinvesting it in something that has less upkeep and maintenance would help to get the expenses down. But I realize that's not, you know, an elderly person moving a home out of a homestead that she, you know, is attached to and doesn't want to leave. That may not be an option you all are willing to consider. Second option is she gets a reverse mortgage. Whether or not she starts to pull money out to add to her income, or she just stops the $500 a month, because at that point it would kind of freeze. The reverse mortgage would pay off the existing note, and at least she wouldn't have a payment anymore, even though that balance would continue to accrue interest and fees. But, you know, you could stop it right there, and then that would take the burden of that $500 payment off the table. You know, she'd have to continue to pay the taxes and the maintenance. And as a part of that, regardless of what we do, we've got to get, if you all don't have this today, and you may, an accurate understanding of what her budget really is, so we can determine what is that shortfall every month that you know you need to make up somehow, some way. You know, with somebody like her, you probably want to have 4-5% of the home's value per year going into a maintenance fund. You know, typically we'd say between 1-4% a year, but with an older home that has a lot of needs, you know, you're probably talking 4-5% a year that you would set aside. So on a, you know, $250,000 home, we need to be putting away, you know, $1,000 a month just for maintenance, you know, for the things that will come up along the way, you know, or at a minimum, maybe $800 a month, $10,000 a year. So you've got to get a budget that factors all this in. What does it cost her to fund her lifestyle? I realize it's probably fairly modest, but including those things that come up on a non-monthly basis. So, you know, the annual taxes and insurance, we got to be escrowing for that. If the insurance or if the mortgage company doesn't do that, we got to be planning for home maintenance. You know, we got to get all that in and then figure out, okay, what is her total monthly need over a 12-month period? And what is that shortfall? And then are you and your sister able to come in and make that up? And if you are, and that's what the Lord's leading you to do, great. If not, then we need to go to plan B, which is either looking at selling or a reverse mortgage, or as you all said, you could do something more significant, like you buy it. But, you know, that's a big commitment, especially with an older home that has a lot of needs. You know, and so you have to think through whether that's something you actually want to do. Does all that make sense?
It does. I guess my question also would be, is if we did purchase it, how do you go about purchasing? Do you purchase it at the value that it is estimated? Do you purchase it? I mean, like for us to still be able to somehow, we want to have access to that money, even if she sells that house on her own, or sells that house because she is like a teenager who has not been financially responsible with budgeting over a long period of time. So this is a continual problem that she's had over her lifespan. And we don't want her to lose that money so she could somehow live off of it if able. Even if it were to be that we purchase it, I just don't know how that works. legality wise, you know, with legal rights. I mean, if she sold it to us at the existing amount and then we just continue to maintain it ourselves, that's okay too, because eventually we could sell the property and make some a little bit of money off of it.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. So, I mean, the question is whether you're kind of taking over responsibility for her, and that would obviously involve you having a durable power of attorney, and, you know, she'd have to be incapacitated. Otherwise, she could sell it to you as a discount. Anything you buy it for below market value would be treated as a gift. And she would have to report that to the IRS. It's not taxable, but she would be, in a sense, gifting you a portion of the property, and then you own it and control it, and obviously could sell it someday. So there's a lot here. Let's finish up off the air and talk about where you go from here, Mark. Really appreciate your call today and your heart to serve your aunt. Hang on the line. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I am Rob West, and we've been tackling your financial questions today. You know, sometimes managing God's money and helping the people that are in need around us and trying to make all the numbers work, it's not easy, which is why we trust in the Lord, we follow these biblical principles, and we believe in God's faithfulness. Remember, He is your provider, no one else. But one of the big ideas that jumps off the page, and it's where we started our conversation today on this broadcast, is this opportunity to be generous, to be givers, and to be able to support our local church and people in need around us, and incredible organizations doing work in the name of Christ and making a difference. And one of those is certainly American Family Association, really transforming our culture, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and having so many ways that AFA is impacting God's people and our culture around us. And we know many of you want to support and are supporting the great work of AFA. And here at the end of the year, you may be thinking about some creative ways to do that beyond just your monthly giving. And that's why I'm delighted that we're joined by Riley Wildman with the American Family Association Foundation today. Riley, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you so much for having me again.
Absolutely. I want to talk about some of these specific year-end giving opportunities and perhaps a few of these that are not always on the radar of our listeners and others, just because, you know, they're not things we hear about every day, starting with charitable gift annuities. And I know this has become just a wonderful giving opportunity for so many AFA supporters who need income in the later season of life, but also want to bless AFA. So tell us about the unique opportunities CGAs present.
Yes, sir. So the charitable gift annuity, Rob, just kind of a brief overview, is you can have up to two people on the charitable gift annuity, one or two lives, and it is a minimum amount of $2,000 or anything above that that people can gift to American Family Association, American Family Radio, and in return receive income coming back to them for the rest of their lives. And they can receive that income, Rob, by annual payments, monthly payments, semi-annual payments. So there's a lot of opportunity out there with the charitable gift annuity. That's one of our big main donations that people give. Yeah. And also there's a new one out there, Rob, is called an IRA rollover. That is new this year. You can give an IRA rollover. You have to be 70 and a half to gift. And I believe it's a minimum this year of 50,000 or anything above that. So those are two big ways to give to AFA and AFR, as well as if I can plug in there, also stock donations. That is really big. People can give a stock donation by any amount, and they can fund that to American Family Association by doing a charitable gift annuity through the stock donation. Or if they want to not do a charitable gift annuity and they just want to give an outright gift to American Family Association, that's become a great a tool there that they can give us a call and we can give them that information and they can give a stock.
Yeah, that's great. Those are really helpful. Let's unpack each of those just a bit more, Riley.
Okay.
So starting with the charitable gift annuity. So this is really for somebody in that retirement season of life. They want to bless AFA. They could use that partial tax deduction now, but income is their need. They're needing to supplement Social Security. They're just really looking to meet their obligations and do it in a tax-efficient way. This is really the prime tool for that, right?
Yes, sir. That is correct. The charitable gift annuity.
All right. And is there time to still do a charitable gift annuity this year?
Yes, sir. There is. As long as we have everything postdated by December the 31st and everything, yes, sir, there's still plenty of time this
year. Okay,
great.
Yeah. So that's going to come to a close quickly. And as you might imagine, folks, this is a busy time of year for Riley and her team. And so if you'd like the option to at least consider a charitable gift annuity so you can take that that tax deduction, that partial tax deduction on the amount going in for 2023, be sure to get in touch with them quickly, afafoundation.net, afafoundation.net, or you can call 800-326-4543, extension 345. And I'll give that again before we're done here today. Now, you mentioned the IRA rollover. So, again, this is for somebody who has an IRA, Riley. And specifically, what are the benefits of that?
They get a tax deduction the year that they set up the IRA rollover. I believe it's either a half or a full 100% tax deduction. And then they have to be 70 and a half before they can start with that.
And this is a qualified charitable distribution, correct?
Yes, sir, it is. Okay. And they can use that to fund a charitable gift annuity.
Okay, great. Yeah. So this is a great opportunity, folks, because especially if you're someone who has a required minimum distribution, and we hear from a lot of those folks a lot who you don't need the money. I mean, God's blessed you. He's given you, you know, you're living modestly. Maybe Social Security is covering it. Maybe you have a pension check or some sort of other income. And yet the government is saying you got to take money out of your IRA every year. And you're saying, what do I do with it? And I don't want to create a taxable event by just taking a distribution. Well, what Riley's talking about here is you could direct that through a qualified charitable distribution directly to American Family Association. It doesn't get added to your taxable income. AFA gets the full amount, and you can meet your required minimum for the year. So be sure to reach out at afafoundation.net if you want to do that, and Riley and her team will walk you through all of the steps. Now, stock donations, let's touch on that a bit more because there may be a lot of folks in our listening audience, Riley, who have appreciated stock in a taxable account. So we're not talking about a retirement account. And if they were to sell it, they'd generate a capital gain. But instead, what could they do through AFA?
They could gift the stock, and they would receive a full 100% tax deduction if they just gifted it outright and gave it to American Family Association. So they would receive a full 100% tax deduction. And we would then turn around, Rob, and sell the stock ourselves through our broker. And at the end, they would at that time receive a full 100% tax deduction through the stock donation. So that's a great tool. And it's we receive those every month.
Okay. And when do they need to think about making sure they're in touch with you for a stock donation or a QCD? Would, you know, the 15th of December, could they even go a little bit beyond that?
Yes,
sir. How long
does
it take?
Yes, sir. The 15th all the way through the December the 30th. As long as we have everything in-house by December the 30th, 31st, everything should be good for this year.
Okay. Now, this year, I think the last day of the year is on a Sunday, so probably by the
Friday.
I know your team's going to be working pretty hard, but Friday the 29th will be great. But if we can back it up even before that, that would really help take some of the pressure off Riley's team. They're willing to do it, but there's going to be a lot of activity here at the end of the year. Now, Riley, talk about just, you know, for that person who's out there hearing some of this and they're saying, QCD, IRA, CGA, I don't understand. Are you guys able to just really help walk them through every step of this?
We sure are. We take the time, and we'll be glad to talk to each person that calls and walk them through what each one of those is and take our time and go from there. Yes,
okay.
sir.
I want to get to Matthew's question before we wrap up today. But Riley, for somebody who says, I like what I'm hearing, I want to know more, tell them where they can go to talk to you.
Yes, so they can go to afafoundation.net. Again, afafoundation.net. Or give me a call directly at 800-326-4543. Extension 345, and talk to one of our ladies here, and we'll be glad to answer any of their questions.
All right. Well, Riley and Chelsea and the team there at the AFA Foundation are ready to serve you folks. If you miss the number, just go to afafoundation.net, and you can get the phone number. You can fill out the form. They're ready to help, and this is a great time of year to be generous and to support the incredible work of the American Family Association. Riley, thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you so much, Rob. Have a great day.
You too. Let's go to Kentucky and round out our broadcast today. Matthew, we've got just a couple of minutes left. How can I help you, sir?
Yeah. Hi, Rob. So my question is about a farm that my grandmother owned when she passed away. It was jointly owned by my grandmother, my mom, and her and my mom's two siblings. They sold that property in 2023. It was owned free and clear. So the questions I have are, is that a taxable event? How will that income be taxed, like regular income, capital gain, et cetera? What info do we need to prepare the tax returns as far as dates and basis? And then is that something that is reported on a separate tax return or just a separate form within the individual tax return?
Yeah, so let's talk about this for a second. So quickly, so you said it was owned by a number of people and one of the owners passed away. Is that right?
My grandmother did.
Okay.
And my mom and aunt and uncle were already joint owners of the property. That had been done several years prior.
Okay. So how many people owned it, and did they own it equally?
Yeah, it was four equal shares.
Okay.
So
when was it sold?
The proceeds were split three ways.
Okay. And when was it sold?
It was sold in 23. My grandmother died in 22, but they sold it this current year.
Okay, so short story on this, and then I'd check with your CPA on the details, is the portion that your grandmother owned when she passed away, that was passed equally to the other three. There's no taxes on that because that was an inheritance. But the portion that they owned when they sold it, they're responsible for the capital gains on their portion. So you take the selling price minus the cost basis, you come up with the total gain, and then it's split out among the owners, and then they pay the capital gains on their portion on Schedule D of the 1040. The portion, though, that was owned by your grandmother, you know, that was passed by inheritance and there is no tax there. So I'd check with your CPA on all the details, but there is going to be a capital gain that is due in the year of the sale based on the profit on a pro rata basis that's according to the ownership. Matthew, I hope that helps you, my friend. Thanks for calling today. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. Grateful for Robert Youngblood, Evan Patrick, and Robert Sutherland. Couldn't do it without him. Have a great day, and come back and join us tomorrow on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.